everybody. Happy Monday night. You are checking out the, I'm proud to say this again. This is the thing. I'm so excited to say this again. The number one live digital food broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, Carrier Pigeon, Smoke Signals, any place else you can hear my voice. That's what's happening right now. The number one food live. I don't know what the fuck we call it, but that's what we're doing. It's badass. My name is Chef Plum, and I am a culinary, what the hell you want to call it? I am a culinary professional. I also enjoy running my mouth. So right now, I am running my mouth about my culinary professionality. I don't know if I really make sense or not, but whatever. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, Season 3, Episode 26. We're pushing up to 100 episodes here. This is crazy. 100 episodes of this program is coming up very, 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 very soon. And I couldn't be more excited about it. Tonight, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a great show. We got our buddy Matt Corey from the New York Best Wings Festival. They've got a preliminary round coming up for the Big Daddy, the main event. I'm telling you what, this is what's up, you guys. I'm telling you. If you think about this in football terms, the playoffs are coming up. The Super Bowl is right behind them of Wings, the New York Best Wings Festival. We're talking preliminary rounds happening June 5th at the Ainsworth Bar. That's right, the Ainsworth Bar. It's Sunday, June 5th. It's round one. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's at 111 East 18th Street in New York. The phone number is 212-673-2467. And, of course, you can follow the at New York Best Wings on all the social medias. And a little bit later on, we're going to be checking in with my good friend, the one and only Miss Metaverse. She's going to be calling in and giving us the future of food report. That's right. There's all kinds of shit going on from 3D printing and robots and Jesus Christ. If I see a chef robot, I think it's going to be like a Terminator 2 thing. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to find me some weaponry and I'm taking them out. Bottom line, that's it. And then I'm going to contact some buddies of mine and we're going to build a DeLorean and we're going to go into the future or back in time or wherever the fuck it is we need to go to stop these robots from being formed. Because I'm not having a robot take my job. It's not going to happen. Not letting a robot do it. And besides, I'm not sure if a robot could actually come on this program and come up with some crazy shit like robot chefs. But that's the shit that Miss Metaverse puts in my head. You can actually follow her as well on all social medias at Miss Metaverse. That's right. You can see she has great pictures on her social media. So what's happening, everybody? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of crazy shit going on in my life. We announced the big event happening June 25th. That's right, June 25th at Copps Island. If you're in the tri-state area, it's in Norwalk. You got to come check it out. We're going to do a dinner out there. We're going to have it's gonna be a four-course dinner with a happy hour, like a cocktail hour, starting it off. So you're going to be able to walk around the docks of Copps Island. You'll be able to taste some amazing wines from my friends over at August Sebastiani and Three Badge. And they're not bringing their cheap shit either. They're bringing the really, really nice stuff out there. I'm really excited about this dinner. We are going to be pulling lobsters out of the water in front of the crowd. And that's the whole idea here. Because you guys know me. I'm all about the gimmick. I'm all about the show. I'm all about the song and dance. And I think everything in this world needs to have more song and dance and more gimmick to it. Because that, my friends, is entertainment. And entertainment is what this world needs right now, in my humble opinion. So we're going to be pulling the lobsters out of the water, the oysters out of the water, right in front of the crowd. It's going to be a lot of fun. That dinner is happening June 25th at Copps Island in Norwalk, Connecticut. It's an easy train ride from the city. Really, really incredibly easy train ride. So, by the way, that dinner is already almost sold out. We just announced it 2 days ago, which is crazy. It's fun. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope to see you there. Give me a shout out. Come up to me and say, hey, Plum, I came to this because I heard it on the radio show, because we're only going to be talking about it for the next 4 weeks. Every single week we're going to talk about this damn dinner, even when it's sold out. So just get used to it, because that's what's going to happen. Because let me tell you something, when it comes to promotions, there's nothing better than promoting a sold-out event. Take it from the king of gimmicks myself. That's how you do things in order to make it bigger. Perception's reality, folks. I'm giving away all my secrets now. That's a learning tree moment. I should have a learning tree drop, you know, so I can teach about gimmick and about PR moves. But nonetheless, listen, so tonight, one of the things I think we've already announced it, but we are filming with Edible Long Island. If you've probably seen the series Edible Nutmeg on the Road, it's on YouTube. Just Google it, or you can even just Google the whole thing and you can find it. It's an amazing series where I get to go and hang out at these amazing farms and breweries, just these cool people who make amazing food. But we're going to the source, and that's the whole fun part about the series, is we're showing the source of the food. And this week, check this out, dude. This week, I'm going to Litchfield Distillery in Litchfield, Connecticut. They make bourbon, they make gin. I'm excited to go hang out with these guys. They look like some really, really smart guys, and hopefully we can make friends with these guys. I'm looking forward to it because it's so much fun. And then not only that, I'm starting the day off. That's our second shoot. Our first shoot, we're going to – this is insane. I'm going to a bison farm. Yeah, bison farm. Like as in buffalo. Buffalo, like a buffalo farm. That's dope, dude. We're going to go hang out at a buffalo farm. We're going to make a cool recipe. I'm looking forward to it. It's called Mohawk Bison. And these guys, man, I had no idea there was a bison farm even anywhere near me. But apparently there is. They're in Goshen, Connecticut, which is a little bit more of a hike from the city, but not too far. We're going to go see a bison farm. I can't wait. I'm really excited. It's going to be so much fun just to be there and just to see how that process is done. And I think I'm going to cook some bison tenderloin. So looking forward to it. And I'll let you guys know how that happens and how that came out next week. But more importantly, those videos will be out. I think those are coming out in, let's see, I think one's going to be in, I think the distillery is going to be in June. Is that right? Yeah, the distillery is going to be in June. And the other one's going to be in July. So very fun. And then we also signed on to do six more episodes for Edible Nutmeg. So can't wait. Hoping to go check out, you know, one of the places I want to go? I want to go to Spiked Seltzer. What is Spiked Seltzer, you ask? It is seltzer water that's brewed with corn, and it's like a healthier alcoholic beverage because your boy, yes, me, I am not drinking beer. I'm 6 weeks no beer, going hard at my DDP yoga. What's up, Dallas? Big shout out. What up, Jake? Big shout out. Going hard on the yoga. And drinking much less. I'm doing a lot more wine and the seltzers, but not the beer. Let me tell you what the difference is. Because I'll drink 9.5 beers, maybe even 10, and I don't drink shit beer. So the problem, I shouldn't say that. I don't drink you know, cheaper beer, domestic beer. The beers I drink probably have 400 calories a beer. And so, you know, you do the math, which I'm not good at right now. That's a lot of calories, dude. That's a whole lot of calories. And so I had to cut it out, and I finally got to see a little bit of results when my wife told me the other day, I think I see a difference in your face. She goes, you look good. You look thinner in your face. And so for that, my friends, that are the things that keep us going. It's all about finding your motivation, and that was my motivation. So I'm excited to have that stuff happening. You know, one of the things I want to talk about, too, is catering, on-location caterings, and it's something that it's coming up in my world a lot this summer. I'm even out of the state doing catering jobs all over the place. And I'm looking forward to it. But one of the things I want everyone to know, the way I look at this, if you're doing an out-of-state catering or out-of-your-area type catering, be humble, be lucky, feel like you, people are doing you a favor by giving you the opportunity to come out there and work with them and serve them food for their families for their special event. Because trust me, they can pick anybody. And they picked you to come out and do it. So make sure you remember that all the time and keep that stuff, you know, just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, I was working with some people who I think took it for granted. And I think it's really important that we always keep it in perspective and understand that we're lucky that we get to do the things that we do. We're fortunate that we get to cook food for a living. We're fortunate that we get to make people's days better and lives happier with food. Because, guys, let's face it, just like I end every show, everything important in life happens around food. So it's one of those things that you just got to keep in your mind when you're doing it because, honestly, I don't know. A robot might take it over. We're going to find more out about that later, that's for sure. Hey, also, I want to show a big shout-out to everybody on them Facebooks. And, yes, I'm still new to Facebook. But on the Facebook, I am in the semifinal round for the Farm to Table Chef's Challenge event. I do a lot of judging these events. I do a lot of appearances at these events. But this particular event, I've been selected to compete. I asked to be a competitor. They liked me. They selected me for the semifinal round. So if you haven't done so already, go on there and toss that picture of like, because that's how they're doing some of the voting. I'm not really sure how it all works, but toss the picture of like, and that apparently helps me from what they tell me. And that's going to be going on until this Thursday, the 26th. So if you haven't done it yet, please, please, please. Hook your boy up, say what's up, give me a like, throw a little comment in there, give a share. Shares also count. And just say, look here, the man is coming, the culinary Jedi, trash talker Skywalker, you got a mic saber for a couple of haters, or maybe I should call it a knife saber. I got a knife saber for a couple of haters. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, you guys, I'm going to take a breather for 13 seconds, probably a little bit longer than that, maybe 60 seconds. I'm going to pop a top on a cold spiked seltzer for myself because I am watching my girlish figure. And we'll be right back with my man, the one and only Matt Corey. We're talking wings, baby. That's right. Stay right there. Be right back. Plum Love Foods Live. See you in a second. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right. Smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF. And get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. And you. Think of a better song, because when it comes down to it, we are talking. Listen, if there was a WrestleMania for wing events, it is happening. The New York Best Wings Festival. And in order to get to WrestleMania, you got to prove yourself along the way. If you want to get to the Super Bowl, you don't just show up. You got to go through the playoffs. And that's exactly what we're talking about right now with the one and only, the wing master of New York, the Wingo Kenobi, my man himself, the one and only. The incredibly fit these days, Matt Corey. Brother, what's happening?
What's up, man? Great to be back. My millionth time. I'm wearing my super guest Chef Plum robe that you sent me. It's gorgeous. I love it. I wear it all the time. It's so comfortable. It's better than a Snuggie.
Well, the key thing is you got to wear it with no pants. That's it, right? It's just you know, maybe like a banana hammock or something in that robe. That's all you need.
That's right. Every meeting I go to, if I'm heading into the city, robe. Okay, but yeah, man. Thanks for having me back on. This is such an exciting event series that's going on right now. This is like a super peak in the world of chicken wings happening right here in New York, and it's just like the mecca is going on right now. We're at the forefront of it, so I'm super psyched to talk to you about it.
Dude, I tell you what, it's one of my favorite events of the year. I was so lucky and fortunate to be a part of it last year. We're talking, you got three rounds here. It's the New York Best Wings Festival with Time Out Magazine presenting this whole event. It's going to be amazing. And the first one of these events is happening Sunday, June 5th, Ainsworth Park in New York City. You can find that event. It's going to be at 111 East 18th Street, the Ainsworth. It's like a preliminary round for the New York Best Wings Festival, right?
That's right, man. I mean, you know, the New York Best Wings Festival is a coming together of thousands of wing fans, but also the best wing makers and wing restaurants and restaurants in general that come from all over New York and the tri-state area. So we're doing the Road to the New York Best Wings Festival event series with Time Out New York Magazine, and we're heading to three different boroughs this year. New York City, that's June 5th. Queens on June 26th in Astoria. Okay, so if you're an Astoria Wing fan or you're an Astoria Wing restaurant, you want to get involved, we need to talk, definitely. And we're heading to Brooklyn, on July 17th to get the best top wing makers there. Now, it's going to be some exclusive events. These are exclusive events. If you see tickets coming out from Time Out in New York Magazine shortly, they're going to be going up for sale shortly. You want to jump on those tickets because they're going to go fast. These are serious exclusive championship wing festivals we're holding in these boroughs. So the winners of those events by celebrity judge panel, yourself will be a judge as well as these events, Chef Plum. The winners of those are going to kind of get the golden ticket like American Idol. You know, you're going to Hollywood.
Right. You're going to Hollywood, right? Oh, I think we might have lost Matt, but that's exactly what he's talking about. These events, you win this event and you move on to the next round. I'm sure Matt will call us right back. Not a big deal, but you move on to the next round, which is the coolest thing about it, man. It's going to be three events: Time Out New York, plus the New York Best Wings Festival, and the winner of the event. You move on to the next round. There you go. I got you back, brother. What happened there, huh?
Yeah, the technology.
Well, listen, our next guest, we're going to bring it up to her. She's a futurist, and she can tell us how we're going to fix that.
That's so exciting. But basically, the winners of these rounds are going to head to the Ultimate Championship at the New York Best Wings Festival held on Long Island later this year. So literally all the boroughs are going to be just picking up and hitting the road. And that's why we call it the road to the New York Best Wings Festival, because we're all getting up, hitting the road for this kind of road trip style festival with the gathering of thousands of Wing fans from all over.
It's an exciting series, man.
This is the definitive chicken wing championships that we've seen in decades. So it's so cool to be a part of it.
Well, it's got to be really cool to see something like this and see how it grows, man, because this really has grown for you. And you know, last year was amazing, thousands of people hanging out. But now to have these preliminary rounds happening in the city, happening in Brooklyn, happening in Queens, to bring up together all these different wing people, man, it's really just super, super cool. And to see it grow, it's got to make you feel pretty good.
It is, too, and it's great for somebody who's going to the fest because you're tasting the best from all these different areas. You're getting such a wide variety of flavors. And
yeah,
as you know, chicken wings and what you can do with them are endless.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We're really taking the idea of being wing hunters, which is what our theme was for last year.
Right.
And now we have the return of the champions this year, scouring the other boroughs for other champions, bringing the titans in, the wing titans in. But it really just makes more for a robust wing hunting experience to taste all these different types of wings from all over the place at the New York Best Wings Festival. So, man, this is just super exciting. You know, we're doing the ultimate wing hunt here.
Well, it's fun because we were judging hot sauces, and you're prominently on that show too. I'm just gonna start paying you to be on the show. Like, that's gonna be your job. Fuck the wings. You're just part of the show from now on. but we were talking about how that hot sauce thing to me is kind of like it's like kicking off the summer. And I'll tell you what, the New York Best Wings Festival is one of my favorite events. Being a part of it last year was amazing. I'm looking forward to it. It's almost gonna be like doing it twice this year, being a part of the judging for the preliminary round and then going on to the festival itself. Truly looking forward to it. If people want to get involved in this, I mean, it's coming up fast, man. Sunday, June 5th is going to be here before you know it. How can we get tickets for it?
Well, for June 5th, the event in New York City, you're going to have to look out for ticket sales from Time Out New York Magazine. Okay, so of course you want to follow NY Best Wings Festival on Instagram. You want to follow us on Facebook, Best Wings LI. But you want to stay in touch with Time Out New York on all their socials, because they're going to release ticket sales for that and how to purchase tickets.
Right.
And there's going to be a handful for several hundred exclusive tickets for this event to taste the best wings in New York City. We're going to have some other tastings there, some other things like cider and wine, but the best wings. So follow Time Out New York Magazine to see when tickets go on sale.
There you go. Time Out New York is the place to be to find these tickets, man. I'll tell you what, if you haven't been to one of these events, you definitely – absolutely got to go, because it's such a fun place to check. I mean, it's just fun, man. That's all it is. Like, even you are running around like a crazy person running an event. I know how it is, but you're still having a great time. Like, I envy that. When I run events, there's no way I could run around and have that much fun, but you do it and you have a great time. So listen, not only are you doing wings, you actually had Nacho Fest this past week, man. What's going on with that?
Yeah, Nacho Fest was whack-a-dack.
It sounds like it.
It was funkadelics, man. I mean, Nacho Fest was as silly as you would think. It was hard not to walk out of there covered in chips and cheese. It's just people, good people coming together that love nachos and beer. So we had some great local breweries there for our VIP ticket holders, doing Great South Bay and Brick House Brewery Restaurant. Jing Dao Beer was there doing some samplings along with Samuel Adams. And
it's fun to say Jing Tao beer.
Yeah, Jing Tao beer was there. I asked them for the proper pronunciation, and that's what they told me. Because it reads Jing Tao. but that is not the pronunciation for those of you who see this beer, which is more like a German-style beer. It's in the green bottle.
Yeah.
It really looks like what might be a Heineken, but it's not, actually.
Very much a German-style beer. As a matter of fact, I met them at the Bacon and Beer Classic this year and tasted some of their product there.
It's quite refreshing.
Yeah,
So it's Tsingtao, and the Brickhouse Brewery beer, they did like a jalapeno style nacho beer.
Nice.
So we had like a jalapeno beer. Man, there was all sorts of nachos. We had barbecue pulled pork nachos. We had the make your own nacho station. We had the spicy boneless wing nachos slathered in spicy queso, sour cream, and jalapenos. We had dry rubbed chicken wings dipped in queso. We had Cinnabon nachos that were going on.
Oh,
Cinnabon
Christ,
nachos
really?
Were awesome, man. It was like a flaky, crusty tortilla style chip that was flaky and crusty and covered in the cinnamon and syrupy goodness and cream cheese, and that was just funkadelic.
Wow, man, that sounds amazing, man. I want to try that beer. That beer sounds awesome.
It was finger licking tasty, my friend.
Ah, there you go. There you go. So who won? Who was the best wing? I'm not wings. Who was the best nachos that you were like, this is incredible? Who took the chip?
Can we just mellow on that? Who took the golden chip at Nacho Fest back in 11? I really want to find out who took the golden chip, Ma. Don't change your channel to Martha. Okay.
Ma, where's golden chip?
Ma, the golden chip.
That's right.
That sounds dirty. Okay, well, I mean, I went. You know, I usually go around and I'm hanging out with everybody. If you come to one of these events, it's totally a partying community. Everybody's hanging out and having fun. Feels like what Prince would have envisioned a party is supposed to be.
Okay, like 1999 or after 99.
Exactly, man. Really good music. We had music by Nicole at Entertainment Fox, who was laying down some really good freaking music, and WBAB was there, our official radio station. So it was a good party, man. It was just a good time at L.I. Poor House in Port Jeff, which is great craft beer and great barbecue, smoked brisket, stuff like that. And, man, it was delicious. I really love the bacon, cheese, sour cream, waffle fry nachos. Those are good. That sounds delicious.
So it's funny, man, because you do all these events and you have these, you know, the cocktail expo, Nacho Fest, but now it's like those are the fun things for you to do. Now it's literally like it's game time. It's time to get serious. We got preliminary rounds coming up. New York Best Wings Festival is going to be here before you know it. But more importantly, we have round one happening June 5th. At Ainsworth Park, go check out Time Out Magazine, information for tickets, and keep an eye out on those guys. And this is, honestly, like to me, it's like a playoff round is how I look at it.
It's absolutely the championships of New York City getting the cream of the crop, the best and most notable, and a lot of variety, too, I must say, wing restaurants that are going to compete to represent New York City at the New York Best Wings Festival. So you're talking about greats like Blue Smoke is going to be there. Okay, so Blue Smoke is going to lay down a really different style of chicken wing that you're used to. Tavern on Jane is going to throw down, and they're actually a redemption round from the first New York Best Wings Festival where they made it to the championship round but didn't quite through that round. So they're coming back to compete in their home area of New York City. Tavern on Jane, and they make some killer wings. You're going to see Turntable Chicken Jazz, Bounce Sporting Club is going to be there. Distilled New York is going to be there, who makes like these awesome, like sort of, I don't know, man, they're really unique. They've got a really great crispy exterior. Some sort of batter is happening there, but like a sweet sort of Asian or Oriental barbecue sauce, but great texture, really unique wing. We're just going to see some more. We're just some of the best restaurants there. Of course, Ainsworth Park, who's known for such great burgers, and they're hosting the event. I love Ainsworth Park to hang out at. Such a cool place. We're going to have a VIP section. If you're getting a VIP ticket, you can hang out and have your own space and mellow out. But Ainsworth Park is going to throw down some delicious wings as well. And, man, if people are just going to stuff their face with wings and pick their favorites. We're going to have some judges there. We're going to have Rev.
Rev is going
to be there.
Good dude. Good dude. Back after having a baby, back into the mix.
That's right, man. We're going to have Kristen Hartley from AOL Sports, Huffington Post, is also going to be a judge. We're going to have Chef Timo from the Stanton Social. Chef Chris Santos, he's going to be there as well. So we're going to have a nice crew of really, like, great wing judges. And we're going to award the best wings in New York City, move on to Queens, and then to Brooklyn. And I really want to challenge your crowd and everyone who's listening. If you're from the boroughs and from the area and you've got wing tips, now's the time to let me know your best wing tips for Queens and Brooklyn, especially Brooklyn. Let's talk about those best wing restaurants. Hit us up, tweet it out. Let's hear those great Brooklyn wing restaurants and let's set them up for this wing championship. You know, can we challenge the audience, Chef Plum?
I think so, man. And I sent the tweet out with there that you sent me. I sent it out to everybody out there. You can definitely do it. Look up to let the New York Best Wings Festival know where some of these great wing joints are out in Brooklyn. I mean, you know, let's support these guys. You can check them out at Wings and Beer Fest on Twitter. We sent some stuff out there. Brooklyn, where you at? And more importantly, I'm a little hurt there, Matt. Matty, you hurt my feelings.
No.
This is officially your last appearance on the show. I'm just letting you know that. We're done. You and I are done. This is it. No more. You mentioned all these
great
people.
Come on. Wait a minute. We have a contract for 20 episodes. Don't even. I'm sitting here wearing the robe now. How did I hurt my Chef Plum?
Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to let you keep the robe. You can keep the robe. And that's you mentioned these amazing chefs. Timo's coming out. These amazing judges. And the one only Rev himself, Schweidenson's the man, is going to be there. But, you know, you forgot somebody.
No. Well, I mentioned you before. I already mentioned you'd be a judge before. And then also I forgot to mention our executive, really administrative judge, and that's
okay.
Adam Pock. Adam Pock is going to be an administrative judge. He really is going to be more of laying down the ground rules for how the judges are going to be judging these wings and the protocol we're going to follow to do that, and that's going to be his charge. So all of us are going to.
That's my dude.
Because he's great. Adam Pock, what's up? Bacon guru. He's great at just saying, hey, you know, this is a good process, and I think that's awesome, man. We all love wings. We all have different things we expect out of wings. I know so many people that are just wing hunters, and what I've come to learn is that while we may all relate sometimes, we're like, wow, it's best wings, but everybody's got their own taste.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? I know you've got your own taste. I have my own taste.
But either way, are great because it brings together these tastes, man. And check it out. The big New York Wings Festival is going to be here before you know it. But more importantly, we have a preliminary round starting. There's going to be three of them. The whole thing is brought to you by New York Best Wings Festival in Time Out, New York. The first one is happening Sunday, June 5th, 2016 at Ainsworth Park. Ainsworth Park is, of course, 111 East 18th Street in the city. It's going to be an amazing event. I'll be there hanging out. Matt will be there hanging out. And we're going to be eating a lot of awesome, awesome wings. And more importantly, everybody, check it out. If you got a great wing joint, someplace that you think is fantastic, shout out Wings in Beer Fest on Twitter and tell them what's going on in Brooklyn. Let them know what's up.
Yeah, send me out a tweet, guys. Let me know your favorite spots in Brooklyn right now. I'm just getting the best spots. So tweet me up, Wings, the letter N, Beer Fest on Twitter. Let's get these wing tips going and get these wing restaurants going, man. I'm psyched. Man. This is the ultimate definitive chicken wing championship. After 50-some-odd years of people loving wings and football games and stuff, we have our own superior, literal chicken wing championship going through all the boroughs and bringing them together. It's just so, so super cool, man.
It's amazing, man. Wings, beer, great times, amazing, even better people. I'm looking forward to it, dude. The one and only Matt Corey. Dude, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it. You're the man.
Thank you, Chef Plum.
And, brother,
I
will
holler at you soon, man.
Dude, I can't wait, my man. And, hey, you're going to be with me this week, aren't you? You coming to hang out and drink some bourbon?
Absolutely, I'm coming to drink some bourbon. I'm going to bathe in it.
Yeah, there you go. We're taking it back. Bring the robe, man, all right? Because I'm taking it back after this, all right? Here we go.
Yeah, I'll bring the purple one. I have the orange one on now, but I'll bring the purple one. And then the other one, that's Neapolitan, I'll wear that one. Yeah, there he is.
All right, you guys. There you that's my man, Matt Corey, one of my favorite people.
All right, I'm taking off the robe. I'll see you guys later.
All right, my dude. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, brother.
Later, brother.
There he goes. That's Matt Corey heading on down the road. The New York preliminary rounds for the Best Wings Festival happening. The first one's going to be June 5th. Make sure you follow Time Out Magazine to find out more information about that. I'm taking a two-second breather, you guys, and I'll be right back talking more food and more beverage and, more importantly, the future. We'll be right back with Miss Metaverse. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll see you in just a second. Hang tight. ProPlayerInsiders.com brings a unique behind-the-scenes look at the lives and lifestyles of the players of the National Football League with news, analysis, interviews, coverage of community events, and featured contributions from current and former NFL players and their families. Hey, and let's not forget chefs like myself are also on there. Be sure to bookmark ProPlayerInsiders.com and also find them on Facebook and on the Twitter at PlayerInsiders. ProPlayerInsiders, the true voice of the players.
I need a little space in my mind. I need that little hope I can't find. I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask for? I need to feel my soul come alive. I need to feel the strength to get by. I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask for? Too much to ask for. Too much to ask for. Too much to ask for.
Yeah, coming back live. This train is rolling on, you guys. Let me tell you what, it's been a fast-paced show tonight, that's for sure, and it's only going to get even faster, I'm sure. Check it out right now. I thought this song might be appropriate to bring in my next guest at this time, because here it is. I'm not sure if she has faith. I believe it's all on the science of it, not so much the faith of it. I've got my friend, Miss Metaverse herself here. What's going on, dear? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I tell you what, the conversation I just had with Matt Corey at the New York Best Wings Festival, I just want to go and just smother myself in chicken wings. That's probably not a good thing.
I'm totally down. Where are we going? Let's go.
Are you serious? We can go eat chicken wings. I'll do it. I'm going to wear a Speedo, and I'm going to periscope the whole thing. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm totally down.
So what's going on? How have you been? We haven't had you on the show in, I guess, about a year now. In the last episode you were on, you gave us so much information. It was crazy. You kind of freaked me out and made me start looking things up. I finally now know what an Oculus is because of you. So
awesome.
I appreciate that. But how's life? What's going on with you?
Good. Really good. Just been traveling. I did some consulting in Abu Dhabi and been traveling and just doing really fun stuff, and I founded my own company called Bot AI, which is really exciting. And technology speaking, there's so many new things that have shifted in terms of food and technology, which is what I'm really excited to share with you today.
Man, I can't wait to hear about it, but you can't just glaze over the fact like, oh, I went to Abu Dhabi. You can't just glaze over that. I mean, you just like, oh, I went to Abu Dhabi. You might as well said, oh, I made a flying car, and then I went and had a picnic, and it was a lot of fun. You can't just glaze over that. Tell me about it. Abu Dhabi, what was up with that?
Oh, it was awesome. It was so cool. I got to go to this place called Yas Island. And, I have to say, you know, over there, Dubai and Abu Dhabi are very close to each other. They're only about 45 minutes driving time between each other. So what's really cool about it is that you have these two places. For those who are listening that don't know where Dubai or Abu Dhabi are, it's in the
UAE.
I'm raising
my hand.
It's the United Arab Emirates. So it's over by the Gulf. It's on the water. It's nice. Over in Dubai, it's super built up. And Abu Dhabi is like the next up and coming city over there. It's going to be the next city of the future. So I'm super excited to have a little part in that, you know? So it's exciting.
Wow.
It's really cool.
That's really awesome. I mean, that sounds like an exciting trip to go on. Were you nervous to, like, go over there? Like, was it a little bit scary? Or, I mean, like, you say that, and, of course, like, all I can picture, and I may sound like a terrible person, but all I picture is a scene from, remember the movie Golden Child with Eddie Murphy? And he rides in the airplane, and there's, like, people smoking, and there's chickens and shit. That's what I picture.
Yes. Oh, my God, it's hysterical. I actually watched that the other day.
It's a great movie. I want the knife, please. That's my favorite movie ever. That movie's awesome.
Yeah, you know what, honestly, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but, I mean, it was a wonderful experience. We were all treated like royalty. It was great. I mean, it put a lot of faith into my vision of the future over there, because I really didn't know. I mean, you see things on TV about, you know, the cool touristy things, like over in Dubai they have the indoor skating rink. The indoor skiing place, which looked really cool. I mean,
I knew,
you know, yeah, but I mean, it's really cool. They're really building it up, and I think we're going to see, you know, it be a really big cultural hub for the world in the future for sure.
Wow, very cool. That's amazing. What a fun trip to go on, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, there's so many things. I have these moments now because I'm getting older, where I just look at myself and look at the things I've gotten to do, and I'm like, man. When I was 16 or 17, would I have ever pictured that I would get to go do that? That's amazing. That's awesome. Like, you know, Thursday, I'm going to a bison farm. Like, I'm going to go hang out. That's insane. Like, who would have ever thought that was something, like, a thing that I was going to go do? I got to imagine you have those moments too, right?
Yeah, definitely. It happens quite often. I mean, and especially, you know, for the last couple of months especially, it's just been so focused on my own startup and all this stuff, and you just don't really get a lot of time to look back on it as you're so focused on the future.
Man, it's crazy. And the future is bright, right? Like, I look at just, you know, I'm not a political guy, but our whole scenario, political scenario, just scares the shit out of me these days, and just everything that's happening in this world. So I've been prepping for the apocalypse. Should I continue to do that, or are we in good shape?
That's kind of hard to say.
Okay, that's the answer you want to hear. No, you should be like, no, everything's fine.
No, this is my take on it, in all seriousness. I think that it's always good to have a bug out bag, but in my personal opinion, you know, I have a lot of faith in the future. I really do. I really think that, you know, it's always good to have things just in case of emergencies. My only honest concern is the environment and how things are changing. And when we had Hurricane Sandy hit here, it put things into perspective, especially for me, because, you know, we had no power for 2 weeks, and it was just terrible.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't imagine if something worse were to come. And honestly, it's predicted to come, for there to be stronger storms and more issues. So I think what's really important for all people is to, you know, become more active in their communities and find ways to make our communities stronger, so that, you know, storms like Sandy and the equivalent in other places won't have such devastating effects.
Well, I just want to point out to you that I'm in the same boat with you with Sandy, not to make it about me, but I have a good joke, so that's why I'm chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sandy, you're right. Like, we were almost 2 weeks. I think we were like 13 days or 12 days of no power here. But it did get worse. It did get worse for us, because I had to go stay at my in-law's house with my kids. And trust me, like, that's worse. I'd rather just stay here at the house with no power and straight up, like, little house in the prairie from the brook down by my water to carry water up to flush the toilets. Anyway, I went very far to make a joke. I just want to go back before we talk about the other stuff, too. You mentioned something that I think is interesting you kind of threw in there again. You're really good at throwing shit in there and just kind of walking right past it. a bug-out bag, because I have one. And, you know, tell everybody what a bug-out bag is and give me your top three things you need to have in said bug-out bag.
Ooh. Whew. That's a hard one. All right. Well, I actually got rid of my bug out bag, so now you're making me think, like, I got to get a new one going or something.
Yeah,
just
do.
In case.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. All right. So my bug out bag. All right. So I got to think about what my new bug out bag might have. Well, Alex Jones says that we should have iodine. So apparently we need that. He should be like the king of bug out bags. So I'm going to listen to him. So we'll get like a super iodine. I think a gas mask just because you have that whole like post-apocalyptic kind of look thing, and you might kind of need it for something. You never really know. And
well, I'm not looking for fashion tips in the apocalypse.
Well, you got to have the part, you know. You got to have something like really get into the mood of it.
Okay.
No, in all seriousness, and you want to have definitely meal supplies. So you want to have do a little due diligence on the best ways to have your most nutritional meals at home in case something happens. And you want to have up to like 6 months supply from what I gathered. But what about you? What would you say would be in yours?
Yeah, your bug out bag sucks. You want to be with me, trust me. All right, here you go. Number one in my bug out bag, you know what I have? A lot of ammo. I have a lot of ammo. You know what that makes me do? It means I can take your bug out bag.
True.
Number two, water purifier. I have tons of water purifying in my bag, whether it's matches or whether – I guess I can't pick more than one. Like, so I'm just going to say water purifier. We'll go with that. And number three – I have solar blankets. With said solar blankets, I can build shelters, and I can also create heat.
Awesome.
That's right, and so that's how I look at it with my bag. Then I don't have iodine, but I have radiation pills. I got all kinds of shit. You should see if you ever saw it, you'd be like, "What the fuck is wrong with him?" I got so much. You have no idea. I bought these 60-mile radius walkie-talkies that have like this insane battery life. It's crazy. I have issues. You have no idea. It's a whole other world that this show is not even about. And now people hate me. The good news is, to bring it back to food, I could take Alex Jones apart and we could eat him. Like, I know how to do that. Like, I could take a person apart and we could eat him.
Yes.
Full
yes.
circle.
All right.
Had no idea we were going here, but that's okay.
Well, you know, what's really funny is that when I was writing this, my notes, you know, for what we could talk about today, the first thing I wrote is I was writing about Fallout 4 and how, like, I love the idea of Codsworth, you know, like the robot chef. If you've seen Fallout 4,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
there's, like, the robot chef who's, like, your companion. I want my own Codsworth.
Not a bad idea, and I started this whole show out by talking about you had mentioned to me something about a robot chef, and I'm like, this can't happen, because if this does happen, we're going to all lose our jobs, because they're going to be cooks.
No, that's not true. Check this out. Did you know there already is a robot chef?
What? All right.
It already exists.
All right, just because you said that right now, I'm building a DeLorean in the back, just in case. So go ahead.
All right. So there's a company that's called Mole. It's Moley, Mole, I guess, robotics.
Love their stuff.
Yeah, I'm whatever. So anyway, Mole Robotics has designed a robot chef that can cook a crab bisque in less than 30 minutes. And what this thing looks like is it looks like these two long humanoid robot arms. So basically,
okay.
It just looks like two robot arms that drop down from the ceiling, and it works in this specifically designed kitchen that it looks kind of just like your average kind of like IKEA type of kitchen.
Okay.
It includes a stove, a top. It's like a stovetop, utensils, and a sink. And then this robot automatically learns. Check this out. This is going to blow your mind. You ready? So just to lead up to this, we have to take in the mind that the future – right? People aren't going to just lose their jobs. It's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is there's going to be a rise of knowledge value so that you might lose the way that you're doing a certain job. It might just change. And that's kind of becoming prevalent in what we're seeing with this robot chef. What this robot chef does is it learns from human chefs, and it reproduces their movements by capturing a real chef's movements with a 3D camera, and then those images are uploaded to a computer so that we'll see in the future, right, that human chefs will be able to teach these robot chefs. So it's just a different way of looking at how chefs will work in the future. You know, just imagine, right? Imagine if, let's say, I had you come over and my robot chef could learn from you teaching my robot chef, and then I could remake something that you came over and taught it, you know?
So here's my question. So I recently saw Captain America Civil War, fantastic movie. I'm a comic book nerd. I can't help it. but it plays a part. There's a part in the movie where, I'm not sure if you're familiar who Vision is. Vision is an android. who's synthetic. He's very, very human-like, but he's still an android. He's making dinner for Scarlet Witch, who ends up actually in the future becomes his wife. Long story. Anyway, which is very creepy in itself. He's making dinner for her, and he's trying to follow a recipe, and he's cooking for her, but he brings up a really, really good point. He goes, I'm following the recipe to a T, but I don't know what it tastes like because I've never eaten any food.
Right, yep.
I mean, so you look at these robots who are going to be in the kitchen cooking, but, I mean, are we going to come up with some sort of taste program for them to understand what the stuff tastes like? Because, honestly, I mean, the beauty of cooking food is that it's different. It's kind of different every time. Like, what my pinch of salt may be this time could be slightly different the next time.
Yeah, I think that we're going to probably see some kind of a convergence of these different types of technologies that will allow these problems to be solved. Because I agree with you. I think that that is still something that is lacking. And I think it's that human touch. Like, all right, it's great to have this robot that can learn the actual movements and the steps to it. But, I mean, I could see that. It's probably being worked on right now. I wouldn't be surprised. If not, get on that, guys. Right? Oh, yeah.
It scares me, though. But you know, I guess the one thing you would see happening with that is something in some of these corporate places, some of these big corporations, the Applebee's, the TGI Fridays, having someone do that who follow these, you know, kind of standardized recipes, having robots do that actually would probably cut their labor costs dramatically and also keep their product very, very, you know, all regulated.
Yeah, I think I think a big part of it is that it will be like recreating the same exact thing. So I think that that's a good point for franchises and things like that, where you want the food to taste exactly the same. It would be definitely beneficial in those kind of, I don't know, commercial applications. But I think for at home too, I think that, you know, we got to keep in mind the type of people that will be buying these things. You know, I think that. Will people at home, the consumers at home who have these robots, really care about that slight difference in taste that
right.
a chef would see versus not, you know?
Right. And it's scary because I have clients that I go to, you know, every day still, and I make dinner for them every night, and now a robot's going to come and make dinner for them, and I don't have to be there anymore.
No, I don't believe that, though. I still think that I think the human element to it is going to become more valuable in the future. I think that, you know, technology is supposed to be making our lives easier, and I think that it could make some things easier, but nothing will ever replace that human-to-human, you know, connection that you have, especially with, you know, if you go to a restaurant, your chef, or even the person, if you go to Starbucks, who makes you a drink, you have that connection. It brings you back, and that's something that's irreplaceable.
Oh, my God, though, we should talk about this really quick, and I was about to segue into the whole 3D printing thing. But anyway, before we do that, I was just pointing out today to our Starbucks barista that we know and we became friendly with over the years that now we have the Starbucks app, right? So I order my drink, and I just go pick it up, and I don't have to talk to anybody. Like, it's completely getting rid of the whole entire human interaction. Have you seen this yet? Have you done this?
You know what? I haven't tried it yet. But I've seen it on the app, and I've been tempted to. But I have to say, like, I have a girl, Bree, who makes my Starbucks. And she's my girl, and she knows, like, exactly what I get. She's like, I got you covered, Katie. I said, that's great. Thank you. You know? But I'm not going to have that if I order it through the app. I don't know. I can't make sure that Bree is going to make my drink, and if she'll know it's me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm the girl with the short blonde hair.
Right. Well, it's good for me because I'm embarrassed whenever I order my skim – 2-pump vanilla green tea latte that's only warm, not hot, because I don't want to burn my Widow Whips. So fortunately, when I order from the app, I don't have to actually say that in front of anybody, which makes me feel better about myself. it's incredible because I ordered our stuff today for my wife, and I went and picked it up, and literally we do it probably 4 days a week because Starbucks is right down the street from our house where we drop the kids off at school and whatnot, but we don't have to talk to anybody. I order on my phone, I walk in, there's my drink, I pick it up, I wave, and I leave. And that's it.
That is pretty sweet, I have to say. You're right, though.
There's a line out the door. I don't have to wait in line. I just go get my shit, and I go.
That is a beautiful thing, though. It's sacrifice. It all depends. I mean, you know, it's definitely changing, though, that's for sure. I mean, I'm seeing things now that I never thought I would have seen like 10 years ago.
Oh my God, totally. What we're doing right now, we're talking to the entire world right now, which is fucking crazy. And I'm sitting at my bar drinking a spiked seltzer, talking to you on a computer, looking at myself. It's crazy. Like, with where we're at now, it's a pretty amazing time. And all people can do is bitch about when their Wi-Fi doesn't work on the airplane if they're sitting on 30,000 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shouting out Louis C.K. It's Louis C.K. bit. Sorry, I can't take credit for that. He does the whole bit where he's like, people are, you know, on an airplane. We have Wi-Fi on our computers, and you know, we have Wi-Fi up here in the sky, and we're 30,000 feet in the air. We're on a chair, 30,000 feet in the air, in an airplane, and you want to bitch about the Wi-Fi not working. We should be fucking freaking out about the miracle of flight right now.
It's true. We take it for granted, and the younger you are, the more you're taking it for granted too. I mean,
totally.
We have some kind of memories of the past, of life before the internet. It was the internet, even though we, you know, had it at some kind of a conscious age, you know, we really didn't have the type of internet like we have today. Now it's like you can literally find anything on anything. I remember a time when nothing was on the internet or internet didn't exist. I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy to think about. It's affecting everything.
I just recently figured out there's more to the internet than naked pictures of women. That's a new thing for me. I just figured that out. No, I'm kidding, of course. But, like, you know, even 10 years ago now, like, my iPhone I have in my pocket is more powerful than computers from back then. So you're talking a lot about how these things, these robots can simplify the future, simplify things for chefs, make them easier. You know, but then you have these fast food restaurants and whatnot who are looking at 3D printing to kind of standardize all their food. Is this a real thing? Is this an actual possibility?
Yeah, there are 3D printers out there, and some of them are kind of cool. But I have to say, you know, back in 2014, 2015, there was way more discussions taking place about 3D printing and how 3D printing food is going to be the future. And there's kind of cool things coming up, but I have to say it's not even at the forefront of everybody's minds right now. And what
really?
I have seen trending are kind of different things. Like, for instance, people are talking about cows and eating meat. And for me, this is kind of a bummer because I am a meat eater, and
mm-hmm.
I can't hide it. I can't just – I've tried doing the vegan thing, tried being a vegetarian. It just didn't happen for me. I don't know. It's ingrained in my being, I guess. And
we in my business call the vegan, vegetarian people who make that commitment to do that sort of thing, that we just tag them annoying.
it's, you know what, I mean, it takes a lot of dedication for sure, you know, but
no
to
doubt.
Each their own. I think everybody knows what makes their body happy. So, you know, if it makes you happy, then awesome, you know. But did you see the documentary Cowspiracy?
I haven't seen that one. No. I've seen many of these, especially these shorts that are coming out now. Cause everybody now is a filmmaker and everybody makes documentary films. I mean, we all do it. Like, I just started a YouTube channel for my kids, and everybody's like, oh, this, I saw it on the internet, so it's got to be real.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that one yet, but what's that one say, that we're all going to die from cow hooves or something?
Well, actually, you know what? I was kind of skeptical about this one before I watched it, but when I watched it, it kind of blew my mind. It was produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, and Cowspiracy, which is, you could watch it on Netflix. It's about how, in quotes, how animal agriculture is the most destructive industry facing the planet today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that scares you just right there. That's just a title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you start, you know, watching the movie, and it's this journalist, and he sets out on a quest to answer why, you know, there isn't any facts about, you know, how dangerous these, you know, raising cattle is on the planet, and how devastating it is, and how, you know, essentially that these people are blaming all these carbon issues, you know, all the carbon emissions from cars and things like that, when it's actually the cows. Yeah, and it's not the cars. So, like, that really changes everything. If it's not industry, except being, like, mostly animal agriculture, right, it's a huge impact. So there has to be changes for sure. I mean, here's a couple of the facts from the movie. All right. So this is just based on water use alone, all right? It says the meat and dairy industry use one-third of the Earth's fresh water, and one hamburger equals 660 gallons of water, which is the equivalent to showering for 2 months.
What? I mean, how can you measure that? Like, I don't... I have so many questions. Like, I just, all I want to do is punch holes in this. That's all I want to do.
I know. It's so disappointing because, you know what, I'm like, how can I eat a porterhouse steak and then know that, like, this porterhouse steak is, like, going to be my kid's water in the future? Like, what the heck is going on here? So it's really dystopian. I mean, it's really just, this movie just brought me down, you know, I have to say. I mean, there's so many things here. It says 1 to 2 acres of rainforest are cleared for every second. And it's crazy. It really is. So although it sounds all doom and gloom, it really is not, because you know what, as I said before, technology changes things. When it sounds like one thing is ending, another thing is beginning. So what is the other thing that's beginning? And that is a solution called lab-grown beef.
Okay.
Now, lab-grown beef sounds gross. I don't know. Am I the only one who thinks it sounds gross?
It sounds disgusting. It sounds horrendous. You're talking to a guy. I'm going to a bison farm on Thursday, like a real farm. It sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible. And not only that, but right now, lab-grown beef, it costs $18,000 a pound. A company called Memphis Meats makes these, like, lab-grown meatballs that these journalists have been trying, and, you know, they've been getting a lot of funding, which we'll talk about in a second. But, yes, okay. This lab-grown meat is $18,000 a pound. That's insane.
God.
Right?
How is that, like – so here's what I don't get. How is that better than, you know, like, I'm going to a small farm here in Connecticut. I'm going there on Thursday, and we're going to talk about what they do and how they do it. There's a small farm, and he's, you know, supporting his family the way that people have for hundreds of years with a farm. And how is some scientist growing beef better than that?
I don't know. I really can't. I mean, I can't even solve these problems. There's so many factors that go into it. It seems really complicated. But here's where things get better. The reality is that although it's super expensive today and there's a lot of problems to be solved, there's a huge biotech industry that's booming today. So
yeah.
The thing is, we really have to ask ourselves, like, can we hack this? Can we find a way to have the best of both worlds so that, you know, let's say humans can have this meat that tastes awesome, maybe better than real cows, that the farmers are happy, that they still get to work or have way better work that they have now, but also, you know, that the people are well-fed and enjoy and get to have the things, you know, the luxury that is meat today, you know? So,
I mean, honestly, like, I don't hate the idea of – I'm not one of those people who's crazy about, like, oh, we're going to grow things in a laboratory and all this other stuff. Like, if we have people who are starving in the world, awesome. That's great. Let's feed them with this sort of stuff. But $18,000 a pound? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know what, though? In the future, it's only going to be cheaper. It's like we got to look back at computers. I mean, a computer used to have something crazy like a 356 megabyte computer was $500,000, and
right.
And that was back then, you know. So and now your smartphone that's like $100 can do like 100 times more than that could possibly. Well, way more than that, but yeah, it's crazy. I mean. It's going to change for sure.
I mean, we walk around with computers in our pockets. It's basically what we have. I mean, I think my iPhone has more power than my MacBook at the moment. It's kind of insane.
So it is insane.
All these things that you're bringing up, especially with how food's changing and stuff, and you know, the biggest hole I'm going to poke in your movie quote is that, and your movie stuff, which it sounds awesome. I'm going to check it out. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to hearing about that and watching it and seeing what it's about. But it's produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, you said?
Mm-hmm, yep.
How long did it take for him to get an Oscar? Case in point. This dude's got a long way to go before he can make documentaries. Just tell you what, stay on the Titanic, and, you know, he fucking died in Titanic. Like, this dude's got nothing. He's got
yes.
nothing.
Yes.
I'm still pissed about that.
Yeah, and I think he did the other movie called Virunga. Didn't he do that one, too? That's, like, about the Virunga. It's, like, the rainforest area in Africa.
Really?
Yeah, it's I don't even know if it's a rainforest. It's this beautiful place. I read this great article about it on Medium. But the actual – I got excited to watch that documentary because
okay.
I'm like, all right, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. It's, you know, a documentary. It's going to be good. Got excited about it. When I read the article, I thought it was going to be amazing because now I get to see it, not just read about it in an article. And when I watched the documentary versus reading this guy's article, who was not Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, it was so disappointing. You know, it just like it didn't go
yeah.
there. You know, it didn't really capture this beautiful place that has this lake of fire. It's like this active volcano that it was told in this whole story of these guys who climb up this huge volcano that you could die if you fall over it. And, you know, there's all these gorillas around there, and the gorillas can actually, you know, reach out and talk with you. It's crazy. It's a crazy story. I read this crazy article. I wish I could find it. If I find it, I'll totally tweet it.
Man, that's insane. Listen,
yes.
The way these things are going, I don't even understand it. I feel like I might be my grandfather these days, like, oh, I just want to hang out and rock in my rocking chair. But one thing's for sure that we figured out tonight is that my go bag is better than yours.
Totally.
Absolutely. Robots, chefs are going to teach robots how to make food in the future.
Yep.
We thought 3D printing of food was a great idea, then we tasted it and decided it wasn't. And that
exactly.
we should all not eat meat anymore, and we should watch Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
Totally.
I just totally recapped the entire interview.
Yep. Nailed it.
There you go. Hey, really quick before I get you out of here, you are doing something cool. Am I allowed to talk about it? Like what you're trying to do, like your whole Terminator thing where you're trying to build stuff? Can we talk about that?
It's so not Terminator.
I don't know. You told me on the phone. I got scared. I started like loading up my pistol, and that doesn't help against Terminators. I know that, but you know, it makes me feel better.
Yes.
You want to build a robot, right?
Yes, yes. So I founded a company called Bod AI. So it's
amazing
BODAI.
Name.
And what we're doing is we're developing advanced humanoid robots for personal and commercial use. So you will be able to have a lifelike humanoid robot that you can interact with, whether you're, let's say, if you have this smartphone on you and you can text and chat with it when you're at work, and then let's say when you get home, you can go home and then you put your VR goggles on, and then you can actually be with this humanoid robot in a virtual space and kind of be in a virtual platform like Second Life. The only difference is that there's a mix between these synthetics or bods, as we call them, which are the humanoid robots, and human users. So it's kind of both in this virtual space. So it's kind of like the future of VR social networking. And then also you can bring it into the room with our humanoid robots, which we're also developing. And those would be life-sized humanoid, kind of very similar to like almost, it's so creepy to say, but like Love Dolls today, how they look so realistic. Nowadays,
yeah.
You can make dolls that look just like people.
Absolutely.
And what we are doing is we're finding a way to kind of use this technology and use it in a way that's therapeutic and also productive, you know, around the home, be able to develop it in ways that, yeah, we want to be the company that makes humanoid robots that are living among people and have positive uses. And I think there's a lot of different ways that these robots can be used in society.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, it's crazy, and I'd love to see that happen for you, but, you know, what I did is instead, I just actually went and made some friends. That's what I did.
Yes. True. Yeah, but you know what,
like,
the thing is, like, it's good to have friends, for sure, but, you know, it's easier said than done today, I have to say.
No, you're right, and a case in point is I don't have to even talk to anybody to go to Starbucks anymore. You're talking about making these robots. What kind of tasks could these robots take care of? Could they do? Like maybe you could text them and say, hey, could you sweep the floor in the house? Or hey, could you run the vacuum?
Well, that's the thing. Like we are pretty far away from that right now. I mean,
okay.
Everything's going to be like incremental. As you can see, like there's a robot called Atlas, right?
Yeah.
And Atlas just recently was able to show that it could walk and run and go up this wooded hill without its tether on. So, like, we're just starting to master walking and find ways to make these technologies smaller and more hidden, so we'll be able to get there in the future. But for now, you know, we're probably not going to start out there. We're probably going to start focusing mostly on our VR and smartphone app originally, and then also be able to build out so we'll be able to provide the best, you know, first humanoid robots. But they'll probably be more, you know, similar to like the Lars and the Real Girl type, but a lot better than that, you know, like having a personality, being able to offer seamless experience across multiple devices. So I think it's more about the experience and like the emotional connection and the fun of it, really, you know?
It's really creepy. I don't know. I think it's very cool, but it's really, really creepy. And let me tell you what, those Real dolls are very creepy too. They have like the dead eye. It looks like a corpse. It's very like, there's all kinds of issues with that. I just remember that HBO Real Sex special years ago where they were talking about those dolls, and it was just very, very disturbing.
It is, but like the thing is like what we've discovered by, you know, originally, I believe I talked about this the last time. We always end up in this conversation.
That's where I was going.
We always start with food, then a pun frickin'.
That's exactly where I was. Listen, everybody wonders that. Like, they all wonder that stuff. So you might as well just fucking accept it and go with it. You know what I mean? Everybody, obviously. Like, that's what humankind is based off of. It's all about procreating and that's what it's all about. And so that one of the meaning of life, that's the meaning of life. There you go. You got it. To make more people. That's what we want to do. So
yeah.
Talked about these robots before. I mean, is that the kind of direction they're heading in? And have you read or seen any changes in that whole area?
Yeah, I mean, so many things are happening now. Companies that, you know, I kind of predicted this originally in my 2014 article that I wrote. And that's what we talked about the last time was how back in 2014, I wrote an article called Sex Robots and the Future of Gynoids Report. And that kind of opened the door to, you know, it was a huge success. Like, people were writing into me and thanking me for writing this big article because it was fascinating to them. And that was like, wow, you know, people are really passionate about this. And it's something I've always been fascinated with. And I thought, you know what? I mean, what if there is a way that we can actually make these robots available to people? So originally I was going to do a documentary. And as I started planning the documentary, everyone was like, you should just go for it. You should just make the actual robots. And that's what I did. I said, I'm going to do it. And all the pieces fell in place. I met my partner, Zach Field. He's awesome. He's a VR and gaming expert based in the UK. And then we also have a great team of AI developers, and it's really exciting. And we also just recently got our new executive robotics advisor, and his name is Gustav Hogan. And he actually worked on Prometheus, the movie, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually built like the engineer's head and David and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and he is amazing. And he also works on Star Wars. He did Star Wars 7. He actually worked on, you know, BB-8. So it's insane. We're super lucky to have him, you know, as some advisor role. You know, obviously he can't physically be here because he's got his own, you know, Hollywood thing. But you know what? We're super lucky to have even just as him to bounce some ideas off of. Like, it's awesome. So we look forward to building some really realistic and futuristic robots for people to enjoy and start living in the future.
I mean, is that your goal? I mean, honestly, like, I'm just being, I don't know the answer here. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but like, is that your goal? Like, you want to build this, I don't know, for lack of a better way to put it, like, your robot is, you're building like a robot companion, like a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
it's a robot
that someone could be intimate with type robot.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing, like we have a very gray area with that.
Right.
People like to quickly go and say, oh, it's a sex robot. And, you know, they are going to be anatomically correct, you know, and that's just for the realism aspect of it and how it, you know, it will have those features, but it's not that. You know, my whole thing is that I do not want to make this about adult toys or anything like that. It's not about that. What this is about is
billions of dollar business, though.
Yeah, it's and people say that all the time. They're like, oh, it's, you know, I understand that. But, you know, I don't want to cheapen it. I want to make a real quality product. Like, I really want to make a serious, you know, robot that people can have access to. They can, you know, either have the smartphone app, they can have the VR experience, or they could have all three. They could have the robot too. So we want to make it affordable. We want to make these technologies accessible. We want to have more people, you know, being able to have another outlet, because I feel like, you know, what we found, and we haven't done an official study quite yet, but my goal actually is to have a study where we get to analyze some of these people who are known as idolaters, and they're the people who have these love dolls. And what we found just by speaking with these people and learning more about their world is that there is a real narrative that goes into the doll owner / doll relationship. Like, these people that have these dolls don't see it as just a sex object. They actually create social media accounts for them, do photo shoots with them. Like, they treat this, you know, like a being. So, and we actually brought this, you know, gentleman named Dave Cat onto our team. So we have a, in quotes, synthetic person on our board at Body Eye. So we're bringing that narrative.
God.
We're bringing, so we want to build upon storytelling. We want to build upon games, virtual reality. We want to make it like a real, you know, immersive experience and really provide for people something that might make their lives a little bit happier, even if it's, you know, it is what it is, you know? And
I mean,
it could be very good.
It's amazing, but these, you know, I'm making a joke, but the same people that have these photo shoots and create these social media accounts also drive windowless vans and hang out by elementary schools. It's a little bit uncomfortable.
I'm kidding, of course.
I'm totally joking.
I think that's like the stereotype, though. And I think that's a stereotype that, you know, we have to also have a little bit of compassion for these people, because I think there's a lot of different reasons why people might have these. And I think that Body Eye is for, let's say, wounded war veterans, for people who can't, you know, connect with one another. A really good element and a twist to this whole thing is that, yes, we are making bods, which are the synthetic humanoid avatars or people that these, you know, real people like you and I can have as like our confidant or as our partner, you know, a companion for us. But on the other end, you know, we're also bringing in an element where people can also have these bods be them. So it's as if they can like operate these robots and have them be them, but somewhere else. So that's like a real far off concept that we're working with. But, you know, that's why our website is mybodai.com, because we see it as it's my bod, it's my body, you know, and it could be your own body and existing in a virtual space or in a robotic body, or it could also be a body that's a humanoid robot companion, you know, and that's all to you. It's whatever you want to experience. So we're going to make it available.
I think it's crazy, and I hope that you do it, and I'd love to see it. And if you do actually do it, I'd love to do the first interview with your robot.
Awesome. Yeah, we would definitely love that.
That would be insane, talking to a robot. That's crazy. And do me a favor, if you actually do make the males anatomically correct, just make sure they're very, like, not so well endowed, so us gentlemen have a better chance in the long run. Just help me out. I don't need some robot showing up with 11-incher. It's embarrassing, that's all. Because he doesn't have kids. It's like the wood live out of him as he gets older. So it's just thinking about the future here. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what's really funny, too, is, like, the response we've been getting from most people is, like, you know, not jealousy for the most part, but kind of like, oh, cool, so, like, we can have, you know, more explorations among each other without having to feel like we're cheating on each other. You know, like, those are kind of things that we've heard from people. So I think a lot of different people have their own different, you know, notions on these types of things. It does seem kind of creepy and weird to some people. And in another way, I think that, you know, it's not going to be so much in the future. So it's all about that change, you know.
Well, I think it's really cool. I think it's all really interesting. That's why I love talking to you, because I think these things are so cool and so interesting. I'm making jokes, obviously, to keep it light, but do me a favor also, make them not bulletproof, just in case. You just never know. Like, the last thing we need is one of these bitches going crazy. I mean, we've all seen AI. Will Smith had to take care of business, and I have no problem being Will Smith. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
So tell them how to find you on social media, and, of course, talk about that website again, because it sounds incredible.
Yes, you can Google Miss Metaverse, so MissMetaVerse, Miss Metaverse, and you'll find me across the internet. So I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/MissMetaverse, twitter.com/MissMetaverse, Instagram at Miss Metaverse, Miss Metaverse across the nets.
Do you have a Google Plus? That's important because I'm bringing Google Plus back. That's what I'm doing.
What? Oh, my goodness. I so do not use Google Plus. It never caught on with me, I have to say.
Never caught on with anybody. That's the thing. And by the way, as you've seen, I am finally in the world of Facebook. I know I'm late to the party, but I'm finally there. I didn't choose to be there. I got put there by people who work with me, and it's actually been kind of fun. So make sure you check her out there. And, of course, if you want to support the idea of having your very own robot in the house that is anatomically correct, hopefully you can tell her to put a smaller cock on him. So we all feel better about ourselves. You can check out MyBod. Is it MyBod? What's the website again?
Yeah, it's MyBodAI.com. So it's MyBodAI.com. And we have a newsletter there, so you can subscribe to the newsletter. I will be sending you all the best updates on our wild and awesome mission to create the world's best humanoid robots for everyone to enjoy.
I'm subscribing right now. So, Miss Metaverse, you have been a pleasure, as always. I love talking to you. I love catching up with you and finding out what's happening in this world. It's going to be crazy. And, hey, I'm going to take your tagline. The future is awesome, right?
The future is awesome.
All right. Hey, thanks for your time tonight, and we'll talk to you down the road, all right? Or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll talk to your robot.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're awesome. I'll talk to you.
Thanks, Plum.
See you, hon. Take care. There she goes, guys. The one and only Miss Metaverse. I don't want an anatomically correct robot in my house. I don't know why. It just seems, or maybe I do. Maybe it ends up being super cool having one of those down the road. I don't know. Either way, big thanks to Miss Metaverse for coming on and telling us what's up with the future of food. I'm taking 35 seconds. I'll be right back, guys. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back, guys. Hang tight.
Yeah. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Live. This show is running longer and longer every week. I tell you what, it's supposed to be an hour. We're like, what are we, an hour? We're almost an hour and a half today so far, and last week was 2 hours, man. What a fun show tonight, guys. I want to be a big shout-out to my man, Matt Cork from the New York Best Wings Festival, coming on and talking about what he's got happening with those preliminary rounds of the New York Best Wings Festival. The first one happening June 5th at Ainsworth Park. That's right, Ainsworth Park at 111 East 18th Street. You can check out Time Out Magazine for more information on how to get tickets. And, of course, my good friend, the one and only Miss Metaverse. She's amazing. So much information coming out of her. Make sure you follow her on at Miss Metaverse on Instagram, Twitter, you know, all the social medias. And, of course, make sure you check out mybodai.com to find out and keep track of how you, too, can get a robot at your house, or VR robot, which means virtual reality robot. Very, very cool. The world is changing, and we are in an amazing place. It's so much fun. I can't wait to see what the future holds. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget June 25th. We are having our event happening down at Cops Island in Norwalk with my good friend Norm Blumensons. Big shout out to Jeannie and my man Ori for help making that happen. That event is almost sold out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Big shout out to my man Dana from Edible Nutmeg. And we are going to be shooting again this week, and I can't wait to be shooting down in Long Island. That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun hanging out down in the East End and on Long Island itself. So, what a show. I mean, there's a lot of information in this show. I mean, there's a whole lot of fucking information in this show. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. I can't thank you guys enough. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe on them iTunes. It does good things for the algorithm, which is how people find us. We appreciate all the support, all the love we're getting. We were number one again last week. Let's make it happen again this week. Ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime and in between time, please, let's make sure we give food the time that it deserves, because food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace!
Came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.